You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. When the Jags come with you, Falcons, what you gonna do? Browns, what you gonna do? Carolina, what you gonna do? Them Jags coming for you. Yeah, them digging Jags, here they come.
All right, welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. I am finally rejoined by my co-host, Misto Christopher Thornton. Chris, say what's up to the people.
I'm alive, but my salad and my car are not.
So, Chris was involved in a minor motor accident some point last week. It was not his fault, and he is okay. He is in the process of trying to make a lot of money off of an old lady because she tell us the story. Sum it up real quick for the people.
All right, care about so it me getting off work after just declining a double, and I had just gotten the nicest Caesar salad like ever created, like fresh croutons out of the oven type deal, and it's all boxed up. And I'm in my car, I'm feeling good, you know, good easy shift at work, you know, some easy bucks. And I'm driving home, listening to some jams. It had just been cold and rainy the last few days, so it's sunny, weather's nice, I got my sunroof open. And then, you know, driving north on A1A, and then I like flash out of the corner of my eye, I see a car, and I'm like, oh God. And then, like right there, bam, smashes into me, ruins my brand new car. I get out, I see her drive away. I'm like, what the heck is going on? She drives back, yada, yada, yada. I'm out of my brand new car. I don't know what's going on with her, but it sucks.
So the entire story to this is that Chris got a new, not new, but a new car recently. It was like a, what, 2012 Corolla? That you got on a pretty nice deal, like $3,000 below the value?
I had been driving. My first car was an 06 Sentra. And don't get me wrong, it's a like good car, but you know, it's kind of old. It's getting there. It doesn't start up the first time whenever you try to turn the key. But that's not the car's fault. It's a model issue. All those Sentras have that. But then my family or my aunt bought a new RAV4, brand new 2018, and they're selling their 2013 Corolla Sport. And I'm like, that's a really nice car. And they're like, yeah, it's I'll sell it to you for $9,000. I was like, that's a pretty good deal. And then we go to the bank, and they're like, yeah, this is a $12,000 car. I'm like, great, I'm getting it for $9,000. So I've been driving that thing around, loved it, loved having a sunroof. I thought I would hate a sunroof, but it's actually fantastic. You know, just whips around real good, and then some old lady stole it from me.
And yet, even with all of this and the great deal he got, Chris is more upset about losing his salad than he is.
I never got to enjoy that salad. The car. The first memory of that crash was looking over to my passenger seat and seeing my salad all over my floor.
But at the same time, we know that there are still good people out in the world, despite the evil, cruel world that we live in, because some of his friends put together some money and gave him $8 to buy a new salad. And now, instead of a $5 salad, he can get some salad for $8 with some chicken in it. So,
some grilled chicken for my Caesar. It's truly that not everybody is evil. There are some good souls out there.
But the bottom line is, Chris is good. He's just been absent dealing with all of this for a week, but he is back and he is ready to talk Jacksonville Jaguars. So that'll take us right into our episode. We're going to get into the injury reports right away. Tommy Bohannon is a week back with a knee injury. He was limited on Wednesday, full participant Friday. I'd figure he's good to go. They haven't made any type of roster move into B because at this point, have a new fullback on the run, good to go. Blake Bortles, yada yada yada. Blair Brown did not practice after being limited yesterday with an ankle injury, with Telvin Smith and Paul Posluszny missing practice earlier in the week. Makes linebacker is a little thin. Miles Jack being the only fully healthy starter there. Aaron Colvin had an illness where he didn't practice Wednesday, was limited yesterday. He was throwing up in there after his interception in the Buffalo Bills game.
That flu
was
game.
Talked about. It was his flu game, and that's when he finally had his first career interception. So props to him.
Pay the man.
Hopefully he can have a flu game for every game for the rest of the season en route to a Super Bowl. Aber Jones had an ankle injury, limited Wednesday, full participant Thursday. He should be good to go. Same exact story for Mercedes Lewis, ankle injury, limited Wednesday, full participant Thursday. Jadon Mickens, hamstring injury has been bothering him. He's been limited both days. Donald Payne, linebacker, has a quad injury, full participant both days. Paul Posluszny with an abdomen injury, did not participate on Wednesday, was limited, better off on Thursday. Jalen Ramsey with an Achilles injury. Seems like there's a minor injury for Jalen like every week, and it's something totally different.
That's what happens when you're a baller.
And it never matters because it never affects him. He's been limited both days. He will be fine. Telvin Smith had an ankle injury, did not practice Wednesday, was limited Thursday. So the linebacker core looks a lot better than what we thought it was going to look like when the first injury report came out on Wednesday. But Chris, what are your immediate takeaways from this injury report?
You got Blake and Blake's back on his stuff, you know. Jalen, his weekly, you know, spin a wheel, pick your injury type thing. I mean, I guess the big thing is, like, there's a lot of linebackers on the list. Maybe it's better that Paul wouldn't be on the field. The Jags scored 10 points when Paul was not on the field, but...
This is right. Paul Posluszny, he did leave the game earlier on against the Bills, so...
But
when he's not on the field, they don't give up any chunk plays, so...
There's nothing really... Anything that's really jumping out or scaring me. I mean, like I said, there's like a vast number of guys, but I said Aaron's just sick, so he might or might not get better, but we'll see. Jadon Mickens, he ended up leaving the Buffalo Bills game because I saw D.D. Westbrook returning most of the punts for most of the game. But yeah, that's really nothing too scary. I mean, Telvin not practicing Wednesday, but I'm sure he'll end up being full on Friday.
Right. And if we want to talk significant injuries, we need to go ahead and move over to the Steelers injury report. Antonio Brown, he missed week 17. Did he miss week 16 too? I don't remember.
A lot of people missed 17 because they sat most of their starters. So I'm pretty sure he missed 16 too.
I think he missed 16. I wasn't 100% sure. He is going to play. He is a full participant. He's been suffering from a calf injury. He was full go on both Wednesday and Thursday, and I would assume he will be on Friday as well. Artie Burns actually ended up leaving practice with a knee injury on Wednesday. He was therefore classified as limited on Wednesday for having to participate today. The Steelers secondary is not good, and Artie is young. He's decent. He gets burnt a lot, so there's a play on his name called Artie Burned. Slap my knee. With already not that good secondary, losing one of their young, kind of promising-ish guys can't be a good thing. He's optimistic that he will play, but having to leave practice with a knee injury and not practicing the next day is not that great of a sign. Then we look at B.J. Finney. I think he's just a backup to the majority of the interior.
Fake name.
He has a thigh injury. He was limited on Wednesday, full participant Thursday. Javon Hargreave, who is a very, very underrated defensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He plays nose tackle in their 3-4. He's in his second year. He practiced on Wednesday in full, did not practice today with a back injury. So that opens up the middle of their defense right there in that front three, let alone Ryan Shazier very obviously being out. So suddenly you're missing a huge chunk of that middle of the defense in the run game if Hargrave is out, as well as obviously Shazier. Then yesterday, Stephon Tuitt was seen after practice with a sling on his, I think it was left elbow. He was limited yesterday and did not participate today. So suddenly we're talking, there is a big chunk of this Steelers defense that is out. That could end up being big for Jacksonville, you'd think, right, Chris?
I mean, there's, I mean, these Jaguars, I'm sure they'd be wanting to play Pittsburgh at their full strength, but I'm sure they're not complaining, especially guys like Leonard Fournette, who's kind of been on a downswing, to basically have the middle of the Pittsburgh defense just not exist.
Exactly.
And it'll just kind of like the gates will just open and Brandon Linder will be the gatekeeper.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You know who the Jaguars could end up seeing if Stephon Tuitt isn't able to play?
Does it rhyme with Lyson Balawalu?
That wasn't a good joke.
Nothing.
However,
I could have made a Tyson's chicken joke.
However, you are correct if you're talking about Tyson Alualu, the former Jaguar. If Stephon Tuitt can't play, Tyson Alualu would step up into the starting defensive end role in their 3-4 defense, something that he did not run here in Jacksonville. He was a 4-3 defensive end who got some career, but he seems to have found a role in Pittsburgh's defense as a rotational guy. He could end up seeing a lot of snaps on Sunday against his former team.
Easy dub.
Alualu was a fine role player. I get people didn't like him for his value being such a high draft pick, but he was a fine player in his role.
The only good role playing he did was maybe like cosplay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that was uncalled for. I liked Tyson.
Yeah, and Tyson was good. Not worth the pick, but good.
Nothing but respect for Tyson. I got nothing against him. He did what Gus Bradley poorly told him to do.
Yeah. But suddenly, there's potential for two of the three starters on the defensive line to be out, and that is huge for this run game. That is huge for Leonard Fournette, who has averaged 3.18 yards per carry since the start of November. He has not been himself, even though we've seen flashes of him like his former self, where he seemed more agile and able to make cuts as of late, especially in the Seahawks game. Not very much last week, but a little bit against Tennessee, but not much. So suddenly, having those two guys out, having Ryan Shear out, and suddenly, this isn't a good run defense as it is. Like, you're missing these couple of guys that are good against the run, and suddenly, this is very, very good for Leonard Fournette if he could turn the corner.
I mean, I'm not worried about Leonard. I mean, he averages 189 yards a game at Heinz Field. Like, I'm not worried. You can't go against that track record.
Yeah, I mean, the facts are there.
Like, Leonard Fournette has never not scored a touchdown of 90 yards or more at Heinz Field.
I don't know if I've said this on the pod, but that 90-yard run was the longest in the entire this year. So Leonard Fournette holds a 2017 record.
Suck on that, haters.
That's right. And speaking of haters, this gets us away from the upcoming Jaguars-Steelers game, which I know you guys all want to hear about, so we'll keep this short. But Chris and I are now known haters of the fact that the Jaguars are going to be playing the Philadelphia Eagles in London next year. It has not been confirmed what day. It'll either be October 21st or October 28th. But regardless, what could have been such a fun game between two potential Super Bowl contenders will not be happening at Everbank Field. Chris's second favorite team has become Philadelphia.
Boo. At least...
That's what he's made it seem like. So I'm gonna let him.
Well, no, I'm booing the league for robbing me of seeing my second favorite team.
I was about to say I'm gonna let you kind of pour your heart out here.
Listen, it me Wentz over Goff. in that last year's draft. It me rooting for the kid from North Dakota State University where he just bullied kids in D2. It me, the guy that just loves a man that has a city and a team rally around him, and I love the city of Philadelphia now. He was kind of the reason why I wanted to go. I was really disappointed that the Eagles game was in Dallas that week that we went. But then I saw our schedule and I was like, oh yeah, the Eagles are coming to town. That's going to be a dope game. And then Roger Goodell and his minions of hell walk into my house, bludgeon my knees, and say, no, Chris, you don't get to see Wensylvania. You don't get to see Nelson Aguilar. You don't get to see anybody. You lose. Good day, sir. So now they have Chris, which I think this is their plan. They have me contemplating, huh, how bad is it to go to London? How bad will it hurt my wallet? Because I say worth it.
I'm kind of in.
We can share. We can share a plane ticket.
My goal has been to get to London before I turn 21, so that would mean this year.
Why? You don't have to be 21 to like drink over there.
No, it was just my goal. Oh. I set that a couple years back, and I guess next year really is my last opportunity. So
when's
Oh. See, it me, the dude that wants to punch an Eagles fan because they're some of the most annoying fans out there, besides my two good buddies at Locked On Eagles, and that is Michael Kiss and Benjamin Solak. However, neither of them live anywhere near Philadelphia, so
I have come to be a fan of some people in the Philly fan base. They have some pretty good Twitter accounts.
They do. Now, see, the good ones are the ones that don't associate themselves with Eagles Twitter. They will talk about Eagles players, very obviously, but they are more draft Twitter, and they are more like football. Strictly Eagles Twitter. The strictly Eagles Twitter accounts are the equivalent of cancer.
No, the ones that I'm talking about are the opposite. They are just Philly fans, but they're just everything Philly. You know, the Phillies, the Flyers, you know, the 76ers, trust the process, and the Eagles. But it's okay. No, they're not like...
Eagles fans, especially in person, are like genuinely horrible people. There's some outliers, but like they're one of the nastiest fan bases.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, okay, there's two types of Eagles fans. There's the guys that like drink like 14 beers and then they go to the Eagles and they're like, we've never won a Super Bowl.
And women. There are women.
Oh, yeah, 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 the women too. And then you have the actual respectable fans of Philadelphia who just love their team and they're not arrogant assholes to everybody. And those are the people that I follow on Twitter.
Those people are vastly outnumbered by the assholes.
Well, I guess I follow a few of the good ones.
Maybe you do. And like I said, there are good Eagles fans out there, but they do not outweigh the bad ones.
I just want to say there were people that were happy that the Eagles game got moved to London because they were scared of Eagles fans. I don't care about Eagles fans.
Like I said, I'm here to hit one.
Like, I could care less. People told me I was supposed to be scared of Buffalo fans, and we saw how that happened. So.
Yeah. Buffalo fans weren't nothing. So this will take us to our next segment. We're going to be talking about... I'm looking at our outline now to be sure that I don't mess anything up.
If you don't want to say it, I will.
Chris told me before the show that we need to go ahead and act like we have big sponsors. So we're going to talk the Ford keys to victory.
Fake it till you make it, baby.
Exactly. So, I mean, I've kind of gone over what I think my keys to victory is, and that's if this run defense of Pittsburgh's, which already isn't good, is now becoming plagued by potentially, even if these guys do play, they won't be at 100%. Leonard Fournette needs to do something. He needs to repeat what he did at Heinz Field.
Like I said, he averages 189 rushing yards a game in Heinz Field. Plus, he's, like I said, he's given like they're basically like creating a door, and it's going to be called like the Leonard Fournette door, and he's just going to be able to run straight through it and bam, 10 yards at a time. I'm not worried. I think Leonard Fournette will get back on track this week, and he might drop 200.
We said that last week in Buffalo's run.
Yeah, I mean, Blake almost dropped 100 on him.
And Tennessee.
Well, I mean, Tennessee, we don't know how to win against Tennessee. Like,
and
the year's 2077, and we'll still lose.
And San Francisco.
Well, that's because they literally have, like, the best quarterback in the league. Like, give me a break.
What does having the best quarterback in the league have to do with Leonard Fournette playing their defense and not playing well?
Oh, well, I mean, I thought you were talking about just like San. I thought you were just talking about teams in a whole. I mean, they have a decent D line.
They do.
They have a Reuben Foster. Like
Leonard Fournette needs to be playing better than he is right now.
Well, I mean, like I said, he's not gonna be able to succeed teams have 17 guys in the box.
He did it earlier in the year. I'm not saying that he needs to be a league-leading rusher by any means, but it's gotten to the point where we should be concerned with how Fournette's playing. And it's late in the season. It's not like I'm going to make some rash judgment on him saying he sucks now, because it's his first year. He's had injuries. At the same time, he's been playing, and he's not been playing well, and it's been a bad stretch for him all in all since November.
I mean,
next year with an upgraded offensive line, if they're smart in the offseason, I'm going to, you know, wipe the slate. It was his rookie year, but at the same time, like, he needs to step it up right now. We can't go any longer of saying, oh, it's whatever. Like, he's going to be the X factor, I think. Minus, of course, the defense against a good Steelers offense. But able to push the needle for Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette needs to have a big game this week. Either that, or they need to run the triple option army offense and have Blake running the ball.
No passing.
No passing.
Well, I mean, somebody brought this up to me today, and I kind of agree. I think they need to change up the run game a little bit. I mean, Fournette had his biggest run of the day. And it wasn't on an I formation run into the middle of the pack type thing. It was on a pitch play. You know, maybe get Fournette on the outside a little bit more. Kind of stretch the D-line a little bit.
I like stretch plays, and they ran stretch plays against Pittsburgh before, and it worked. We saw it against Mike Mitchell on the wave. That was a stretch play.
I mean, even Fournette's 90-yard touchdown was on the outside.
And maybe this is coming from a mix of his injuries and the play calling, but regardless, like, he also is a bulldozing running back. He was earlier in finishing runs where he wasn't stopped at 1 or 2 yards. He might have looked like he was getting stopped at 1 or 2 yards, but some ungodly way he ended up finishing at 5. Just able to roll over people. And we need to see that. We need to see that momentum back, because otherwise, if you can't get momentum against Pittsburgh, it's not like you're playing a bad offense where Jacksonville will – the defense won't get tired because, like, they were three and outing Buffalo as much as they please. Like, it's not going
to
be –
maybe they need to, like, piss – maybe they need to piss Fournette off. Like, every time he's on the bench and he's, like, cold, they need to, like, smack him.
John Henderson his ass.
Just keep him angry, and then, you know, he'll just like want to
make him run angry.
He will like literally bury like Mike Mitchell into the ground. Like, he'll bring a tombstone on his next drive, and when he hits him, he'll just bury him right there.
I'm here for it. I'll make it known again. Like, this isn't me judging as a whole. This isn't me grading him or whatever. Like, he's fine, and he's going to be good. He needs to step it up this week.
My biggest thing that I want to see from Fournette is I want to see him call on a hit, and then I want to see him hurdle the guy. That's what I want.
Please. Please.
Like, call Mike Mitchell over, and when Mike Mitchell goes low, you hurdle his ass and you go 75 yards to the house.
I'm here for it.
Like,
would you consider that to be your X factor? If that doesn't happen, game over.
Well, I mean, I guess you could consider Leonard Fournette one of my players of interest.
I didn't know we were doing a full. Oh, I guess we are doing a players of interest. But you didn't drop your key to victory. Your Ford
keys to victory. And I think that's it right there. Pound the rock.
I mean, I'm not worried about the Steelers offense. They're okay. I think it's going to be, if this offense can get churned, and if this offense can drop 20 points, just send us to the Super Bowl already.
That's what I'm worried about.
Well, that's why it's a key to victory. It's why it's Ford, you know, first on race day, keys to victory. It's race to the Super Bowl, baby. And it's going to be on the back of Leonard Fournette and Blake Bortles.
I think the Jaguars can win this game. I think it's definitely, and it's they are definitely given way too little credit by Steelers fans right now than they're deserving. At the same time, I see a lot of people way too confident about Jacksonville too.
Oh yeah, no.
Pittsburgh's offense is better. There's no way in hell we see anything reminiscent of what five.
I mean, what I said in my article today is, yeah, I mean, the Steelers have been playing better offensively, but if you think about it, AB, he says he's 100%. I don't know how he could be 100% from tearing your calf like 3 weeks ago. But the Jags defense has gotten better. Like I said, you have a guy named Marcel Darius, you know, man in that D-line, so he'll help contain.
Ben Roethlisberger has gotten better.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten better, but I mean, if you want to say anything, I feel like the secondary has gotten better since they last saw Big Ben, if we're being honest.
They have, and like I said, I don't mean to be discrediting the Jaguars. At the same time, like, this is
I'm not discrediting the Steelers, but
they are playing a good team right now.
I feel almost more confident in this game than the Bills game. Just because of the outcome of the Bills game, that we saw something that the Jags really hadn't been able to do or really hadn't faced all year, and that's win like a close game, like be behind, take like a small lead, and then hold that lead. We hadn't seen it. Most of their wins this year had either been blowouts or losses, minus an overtime win against the Chargers.
Do you know what Pittsburgh's record is since they played the Jags?
Pretty sure they lost one game against the Patriots.
Yeah, they're 10-1.
Like I said, their three losses were us, Chicago, and New England. No, they're definitely on a hot streak. Like, I'm not going against that, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of the sweat.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I feel like people. You're almost kind of fueling the Jags at this point with the amount of doubt that people are giving them. Like, their own fans obviously are hyping them up, but national media, it almost seems like everybody, like, you're giving them bulletin board material. Like, everybody's basically talking New England and Pittsburgh is the AFC championship. Like,
And that right there is what gives me hope that Jacksonville not only can win, but can win. Some ass.
Oh, if they whip some ass, man, I'm for it. Like,
how many times have we favored Jackson recently and they came out flat? And then let's look back at the times where we like were cautiously optimistic, or even we saw a lot of doubt and they came out and smacked.
So basically, like the first time we played Pittsburgh after losing to the Jets. We were down on the Jets and we're like, oh God, how are we going to win in Pittsburgh? We come out and we kick the crap out of them. And then games like Arizona and, well, I won't even say San Francisco because I was kind of scared of San Francisco because I knew how good Jimmy Garoppolo could be. And that team's like almost there. But like Tennessee, they should have played a lot better in Tennessee. But really, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the coaching or if it's the players, but I mean, I don't know. It's almost like the Jags play better when they have an underdog mentality. And I mean, they're already, I think, a 6-point underdog right now. So,
right. Now that line has moved.
Yeah, it was seven.
It was 8-point. Was it seven? I thought it was eight.
I'm pretty sure they opened up as a touchdown favorite. Pretty sure it's 14 for the Patriots and seven. Might have been 8.5.
I know the line has moved in the Jaguars' favor.
Yeah, I know it's like 6.5 or something. So, or last time I saw it.
So if you're a betting person, keep that in mind. But so that will take us into the players of interest. And you were about ready to take that off, so feel free to go ahead and get
in. Yeah, I mean, we've already talked a lot about Leonard Fournette, so I won't really kind of drag through that a little more. But he's definitely
I think he's both of our player of interest for the Jags.
I think really everybody's player of interest. Like, if Leonard Fournette, I mean, obviously if Blake can just start firing things to the air, then it'll be a moot point. But if we have a game like we did last week, Leonard Fournette's going to need to show up. Plain and simple.
Agreed.
It'd be almost unfair at this point to expect Blake Bortles to have to rush for 100 yards for your team to win.
Again, option, triple option army offense. Do it.
And then I guess my player of interest on the Steelers defense would be TJ Watt, really the only healthy person remaining that has really any significant talent.
Yeah, I agree with you there. TJ Watt has been very flashy as a rookie. He's been an inconsistent pass rusher. Like, he's not always generating pressure, but at the same time, like, he can do it, and he's a flashy athlete. And once he gets hot, like, he's very hard to stop. And he's not like his brother, because he is more of the quick standing pass rusher, whereas JJ Watt's the bigger, like, power guy. But I'd say Watt, if he gets hot, he's for, because he's hard to evade. So if Blake is trying to run, it's going to be hard for him to get past Watt.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be kind of nice for the Jags to really only have to game plan against a few guys.
Very.
I mean, hopefully they don't take that too lightly, and then you have, like, no-name guy come out and just, like, get, like, 9 sacks against you, but...
Right. Then, flipping it up, Steelers offense, Jaguars defense.
So, for the Steelers offense, I'm going to say Le'Veon Bell, because, I mean, Antonio Brown's obviously that guy that everybody can allude to, but I think that's going to be a pretty kind of hand-in-hand matchup. But I think Le'Veon Bell, because last time the Jags played, they held Le'Veon in check. They kept him under 100 total yards of offense. I believe it was like 48 rushing yards, 46 receiving yards, or something like that. It was sub 50 for both. So they were able to keep Le'Veon Bell in check. And I think if he's a guy that can get going and get hot in the beginning, that's going to be a problem. Because the Jags have kind of shown, even though they've really improved their rush defense, if running back gets hot against them, they struggle tremendously stopping him, especially passing backs.
Right.
Like, Derrick Henry had, like, almost zero success on the ground, but he did have, like, a 70-yard, like, screen pass touchdown.
Right. Now, what's nice is we don't really have to worry about the curse of the backup running back, because I live in a Steelers household, so I've seen Fitzgerald, Toussaint, and Stevon Ridley, and neither of them are good. So, in any sub-packages where Bell is off the field, I'm not as worried about as I would be against LA with that Austin or Matt Breida for San Francisco, where both those guys somehow found a way to tear up Jacksonville's defense. But I'd say I look at it as Bell very clearly is the guy to watch for. We'll keep our eyes on Antonio Brown to see if he is healthy. I mean, you could say that really every skill position has a player of interest for the Steelers offense, but I do think it'll be Bell. Now, the Jaguars did keep him in check last time.
Can I actually do, like, a players of interest Steelers offense, like, 1B? Can I dawn on me?
Yeah.
It was a guy that didn't really do much the first time, but he's really come into his own, and that guy is Juju Smith-Schuster.
I knew you were going to pick him.
I mean, you got to go with Juju.
How can't you, though?
Like, he is a very good number two wide receiver, and I think both Jalen and AJ, whoever they're on, they're going to have to have their A game all day on both those guys.
That's what I'm worried about, is whether it's Antonio or Juju, because they're both fast. Jalen's one weakness, and he hasn't shown it much recently at all, but earlier in the year, his weakness was early on, he was getting burnt, and making up for it later with a flashy play where it's like, okay, you burnt me, I'll beat you this time.
So, but I was going to say, hopefully it's not one of those things where the safeties are going to have to kind of stay out there in a
shadow,
stay out there and prevent it from happening, which I guess frees up, leaves the linebackers to have to cover the shallow and the run game. So that could be a problem. But I think if Pittsburgh
there's going to be a lot. Todd Wash is going to have a lot on his shoulders this week.
But not, I mean, there's no other defense that I would rather, that I would trust. Because, I mean, you know, best defense right. in the league.
Right. Right. Agree. It'll just be one of the bigger tests for them. But I'm here for it. I think they are going to end up matching up really well when it's all said and done. I think it's going to be my defensive player of interest for the Jaguars, as obviously there's so many guys that you could call on to say, like, oh, if they can get pressure against this good offensive line. And Yannick Ngakoue against Alejandro Villanueva could be one. I think Aaron Colvin, as great as he is, not only as in coverage, holding that unit together from the nickel, but also even coming up and setting the edge against the run. If Le'Veon Bell is starting to stretch outside and Aaron Colvin has to come up and make plays, I think this is going to be a big, big test for him.
Yeah, Colvin, like I said, he kind of showed his worth a little bit last week in his flu game, getting his first career pick and a really good time in a payday season. But I think my defensive player to watch, there's so many guys that I want to say, but I'm going to go with big Marcell Dareus. He had a strong week this week, keeping his former teammate LeSean McCoy in check, and I think if he can do that against Le'Veon, we'll be in for a very good day for the Jags.
I'm here for it. I'm here for him to have a career game. He already had a pretty great game against his former team.
And then I guess a guy that's not on the side of ball, we talk about Josh Lambeau. See, I still have Jason Myers PTSD. He missed a kick in that Steelers game. Josh Lambeau. I don't even know if he's ever kicked at Heinz Field before. But that'll be interesting because, like I said, no kicker likes Heinz Field because the winds swirl.
Right. That will be huge. I agree. So this will take us into the last part of our pod. It isn't as breakdowns or anything, but I have a big announcement here at Locked On Jaguars. We have launched our site. It's been a work in progress. We've mentioned it before that it was something we wanted to get done early this year. We were going to wait until draft season was here. We didn't want to conflict a lot of draft articles coming out while the Jaguars were in the playoffs, but with the Shrine game coming up and the Senior Bowl coming up shortly after, the timing became awkward and we just said, screw it, we're doing it right now. And we've got it up. Be sure to check it out at lockedonjaguars.com. I put out an application around like 3 o'clock today and just told people, start applying. Feel free to come try and join our team. And it was by 7 o'clock at night, the entire staff that I had already I kind of had an idea for how many people I wanted to get on. And by 7 o'clock, I had a full staff. So people seem excited. We're going to be getting a lot of content out to you, the people. we want to become your guys' most reliable site. When you're looking for news, we want to be the site that you click on. And in which case, I'm going to ask that you give our first article that was put out today by your very own Misto Cristofo a click today. After you hear this episode, it'll give you a really good rundown on comparing the Jaguars and Steelers teams from week 5 to right now. So Chris, go ahead and give yourself a little shout for that, little pat on the back.
It was a pleasure to write. That's all I can say.
And we're going to be writing a lot more for you guys as well as our team. Once I have them all set up in our system, they've been hired. They just have to get into the system, learn our WordPress. It's going to be fun. Once it's all set up and rolling, you guys are definitely going to need to give it a look. But we're going to be posting all of our pods on there as well. So easy to find all of our work.
Your one-stop shop for Locked On Jaguars content.
Exactly. So on that note, be sure to go check out, bookmark, favorite the site, lockedonjaguars.com. And as well as obviously subscribe to us on iTunes. You can just look up the Locked On Jaguars podcast. Hit that subscribe button. Leave some ratings and reviews. Ratings are looking very good compared to when I took the show over back in September. Really moved up from, it was like in the 2 stars to, I think it's like 4 to 4.5 right now. So it's looking really good. Keep them going. Five. I'd love to break that 20 mark sooner than later. For, you know, all the work, not only myself, but Chris has done. We're trying to, like I said, all the content is for you guys, the people. So be sure to check it out. Follow myself on Twitter at @Zach_Good. Lovely co-host at Misto Christopho, and follow on Jaguars. Chris, do you have a score prediction?
Ooh, score prediction. I am going to go with Jags 24, Steelers 17.
I'm going, I called it last night on the crossover with Ledyard. I'm going Steelers 17, Jaguars 13. And I remember to start the year, every game I called that the Jaguars, that I said they'd win, they'd lose. Every time I win, I'm getting that feeling right about now that this could end up being where a case where I undersell the team and they prove me wrong and I cry of happiness come Sunday around 4 o'clock.
It's what I usually do every week. I just get my hopes really, really low.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
But I'm mentally prepared for both outcomes.
That's fair. Be sure to check us out on iTunes and at LockedOnJaguars.com. We will catch up with you guys later.